supply infinite ideas. We all have a sense of limitation because, as yet, we have a limited sense of infinite good. We all, in some degree, have difficulty in demonstrating supply, in multiplying or increasing our good. There is reason for this, and the reason is that we have not sufficiently learned how to translate our sense of things from a material basis to a spiritual basis. Yet Mrs. Eddy tells us that, quote, "science understood translates matter into mind," unquote. Miscellaneous Writings, page 25, line 12. Matter translated back into its original is mind. More or less, our sense has been that all things are external and apart from us, and that we must somehow attain them in order to have them. Also, our sense of things, especially of inanimate things, has been a finite and material sense. But now, in this new cycle of truer, enlarged thinking, we are awakening to the necessity of evaluating all things, both animate and inanimate, as being spiritual ideas. After the experience of the past few years, we all see the necessity of basing our sense of things on a spiritual foundation in order that we may understand and demonstrate that all things which constitute our present consciousness are spiritual ideas and are therefore ever-present, infinite, and unfailing. The problem of supply, lack of understanding. The student of Christian Science deals easily with many problems, but when it comes to the question of supply, there seems to be less of a basic, definite understanding, less of scientific thinking, more of mass mesmerism and superstition than accompanies any other so-called problem. And while our sense of supply affects our human existence more keenly than any other problem, we continue in some degree to walk, quote, into or with the currents of matter or mortal mind, unquote. Unity of Good, page 11, lines 3-4, on this important subject. The mass mesmerism of this question. There is a mass mesmerism connected with the problem of supply, which we, as students, cannot afford to ignore. Because of our ignorance of the realities of existence, there is the almost universal mesmerism which causes us to believe, consciously or unconsciously, that God or mind has little to do with supply. There is the belief that our supply is almost entirely in the hands of other persons and little in our own hands or the hands of God. There is the belief that our income, our position, our employment are disconnected from us and are at the mercy of others, and that we, in and of ourselves, have little power over these things. It is almost a prevailing belief that our business is dependent upon the activities of other persons, upon the activity of our government, or of nations, or international conditions, and that it is entirely out of God's hands. Law of coordination and man's oneness with God. But in the proportion as we understand the coordination of all things, the reciprocal law of divine being, and our inseparable oneness with God, our own mind, we will free ourselves from all this mass mesmerism. Mind is unifying, cooperative, and reciprocal because one mind only is unfolding itself out into infinity. Everything in the universe belongs to God, to mind. Everything is in His hands. Everything of which we are conscious has its being, its substance, and all of its activities in the one divine principle. Likewise, everything in the universe belongs to us. Each one of us is an individual expression of infinity, and consequently, each one of us possesses all the glories of heaven and earth. When once we understand that it is our ignorance of God and man as one being that causes the false sense which seems to hide our real heritage, we will reject this false sense and be more alert in basing our thinking on the spiritual sense of God and man. There is no separation between God and man, between principle and idea, between infinity and its expression. Then, since God and man are one being, there could be no such thing as a claim of poverty or lack, and the fear of poverty and lack is all there is to the claim. We, as Christian Scientists, should never ignore the claim of lack of any nature. Neither should we ignore the fear of it. But we should understand the absolute nothingness of the claim and have confidence in the certainty and permanency of God and man as one being. The claim of insufficient income, so long associated with many of us, should be disposed of, at least in a measure, and we should come naturally and consciously into infinite possessions. The fact that we identify all that God is true now and is demonstrable in the measure that we actually understand and individualize this fact. Consciousness. Perhaps the most aggressive mass mesmerism is that we can think about something and still not consciously have it. That we can think about health and wealth and still not consciously experience health and wealth in our daily living. Nevertheless, the fact that we think about health and wealth is the fact that they already are in our individual consciousness as a conscious experience. What we call our thinking about health and wealth is the presence of health and wealth in our consciousness. The student of Christian Science should be keenly alert and individualize the fact that things exist only as they have been thought or conceived of by God, his mind, and therefore constitute his own individual consciousness. God or mind is ever conscious, and everything in the universe has been evolved by this conscious mind as thought or infinite ideas, and these still appear humanly as material things. It is most important to understand that the universe of so-called material things is the universe of thoughts or ideas. God, or conscious mind, is in manifestation as an infinity of ideas, and this infinity of ideas constitutes consciousness, or intelligence, or individual man. In Christian Science, we do not think of ourselves or individual man as personal or corporeal or material, but we think of ourselves as man, as consciousness. We think of ourselves as an infinite compound of all the ideas that identify God, our mind, and constitute our consciousness. We do not evaluate the things in consciousness correctly. We, as Christian Scientists, often fail to evaluate correctly the things of which we are conscious. We should evaluate everything of which we are conscious, no matter how it may appear to us humanly, as being one with God, infinite and spiritual. All is infinite mind, infinitely manifested, from a world to a potato patch, from a blade of grass to a star, from a pin to a palace. Everything of which we are conscious is included in our consciousness. Everything of which we are conscious makes up our compound of ourself. Everything is inseparable from God or mind. Everything is what mind is consciously being, and is infinite and spiritual. Everything is the manifestation of mind, and is spiritual man himself, no matter what false sense says about it. Everything of which we are conscious is a conscious idea. It is alive, it is living. There is no such thing as an unconscious or inanimate idea. Every idea manifests consciousness. By virtue of the fact that all things constitute consciousness, every idea or everything is divinely conscious. A stone as idea does not think. It is only God or mind who thinks. Yet stone is conscious and is something in consciousness. Money as idea is conscious and is something that constitutes consciousness. What a stone or money really is as idea may not be fully revealed to us yet, but we know that they are ideas in consciousness and can therefore be demonstrated by us. Two groups of creation. In universal belief, the things of which we are conscious are divided into two groups, animate and the inanimate, the spiritual and the material, the divine and the human. But in Christian Science, we learn that these opposites are not two, but one, that the inanimate is only a false sense of the animate, that matter is but a false concept of spiritual ideas, and that the divine idea appears as the human, all because of our ignorance of God and man as one being. In Christian Science, we learn that everything which appears to us humanly can be demonstrated to be divine ideas. Everything which appears as a material object or an object of sense is a divine idea. And because it is divine and infinite, we each of us possess it. Even the fish, being conscious, included the tax money. Animate and inanimate. Everything that appears as an inanimate object, from a pin to a palace, is, in its reality, an infinite idea. Everything of which we are conscious exists in consciousness, and it makes no difference how infinitesimal it seems to be or how material it seems to be to the human senses. It is idea and is infinite and divine. Horse. It may appear to us that the things we call animate in nature are easier to understand as idea than the things which we call inanimate. For example, a horse in belief is a living, animate creature. But in reality, all there is to a horse is a divine idea. In belief, then, horse, because of its apparent life, appears different from a table or a chair or money or a loaf of bread, which we call inanimate objects with no apparent life. Nevertheless, in reality, the table, the chair, the money, and the loaf of bread are living, conscious ideas which are imperfectly known or imperfectly seen by us. Everything we believe to be inanimate, when dissociated from matter and understood as divine consciousness, will lose the limitations of matter and be seen in its true depict. Loaves and fishes. The disciples brought to Jesus two loaves and a few fishes as representing all the food available. Two loaves and a few fishes were the disciples' limited sense of the availability of food. But this was not the vision of Jesus. Jesus knew loaf and fish were infinite divine ideas, infinitely expressed. And he knew that each one of the multitude, being the conscious, infinite identity of the one mind, included in his consciousness all that mind included. Therefore, each one of the multitude included loaf and fish. But the multitude were ignorant of their oneness with God or mind. They were unaware that they identified infinite plenty. To them, loaf and fish were separate from their consciousness, and they thought they had to attain them in order to have them. To the multitude, supply was limited, and to their false sense, it was also material. But the vision of Jesus was above the human sense, or the ignorant, limited sense of food as material. The very food which the disciples and the multitude considered as material and limited, Jesus understood as divine and infinite. Jesus interpreted food from a spiritual basis, and his true discernment of divine substance resulted in the inexhaustible and illimitable supply of thought and things, and appeared humanly to the disciples and the multitude as loaves and fishes in abundance. Jesus saw in the loaves and fishes his own true concept of food. To Jesus, food was a divine idea identifying infinite spiritual substance and could be increased or multiplied where he was according to the amount he needed, even though the place were a desert and the necessity was food for 5,000. Jesus saw food as a spiritual idea, universal, omnipresent, and at hand. But the multitude, whose concept of food was still limited and material, no doubt saw in this spiritual expression of infinite good only their own familiar so-called loaves and fishes. To the materialist, all things are material. To the spiritually minded, all things are in and of spirit. If things appear to us individually as material and limited, the trouble is not with the things, but it is the lens through which we see them. In divine science, everything that appears humanly is a divine idea. That which appears to us humanly as a material object is, in reality, a divine idea. Objects of sense are ideas of soul. An idea of soul seen through the lens of material sense may appear as a material object or a material thing, but there is only one thing present, and this is the idea of soul. Right where the finite material object of sense seems to be, there the right idea is in my mind or consciousness. Objects of sense do not exist in reality. They exist as false appearance only. Therefore, objects of sense, as objects of sense, have neither place nor limitation. What appears to my consciousness as material, limited things are merely my human sense of divine ideas. Man, tree, and flower appear to die. But they never do die, because they are divine ideas, one with God, immortal life. Man, tree, and flower, according to material sense, are the human sense of divine immortal substance. Ideas are never temporal things. There are no temporal things. The so-called temporal things are but the false interpretations of eternal things. All things are one with God and are immortal. Let us remember that every divine idea we entertain in consciousness is the presence of God or mind unfolding in our consciousness, present as our mind, and appearing as power, presence, law, achievement, and intelligence in the measure of our understanding. Money, a house, a table, and an automobile exist as ideas only, but to our human concept, they are objects of sense with measurements and limitations and material accompaniments. Money, a house, a table, and an automobile are the human concepts of divine ideas. And we are told in our textbook that we must replace human concepts with divine ideas, or we must exchange the objects of sense for the ideas of soul. The words replace and exchange might be very misleading if we think there are two entities, one to be replaced or exchanged for the other. We as students must clearly understand that what appears right here and now as an object of sense is present right here and now as a spiritual idea and has the presence, the form, the color, the substance, and tangibility of spirit. A divine idea is immortal and exists at hand in its reality. This is why we can always demonstrate it. Everything which we wish to be demonstrated already exists. Every attribute and quality of the thing to be demonstrated already exists. If things or certain attributes or qualities seem to be absent or limited, it is because of our limited sense of divine, infinite substance, God. Money, a house, an automobile, a table, and all other things which appear to meet the need of humanity today are only a material, limited sense of what is present as ideas of completeness, wholeness, satisfaction, and ease, ideas which are contributive to a perfect state of being. We need to understand that all these things which appear to meet our human needs are mind, God, manifested as ideas, and are not the material things they appear to be. When we understand them as ideas, they will always bless us, always add to our comfort and happiness and well-being, and always satisfy us. Every idea of God's creation is ours and constitutes our consciousness, not sometime, but now. And our consciousness is, even now, conscious of itself as infinite good. It is right and natural that we should have an enlarged sense of this infinite good in our present state of consciousness. If we should free ourselves from the false education of the centuries and accept our birthright as the Son of God, then there would appear this conscious continuity of all good, experienced in ascending states of consciousness, until all so-called material objects would be seen in their divine character. Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "Understanding is the reality of all things brought to light," unquote. Hence, there is the great need to understand the certainty and permanency and the eternality of all that we are conscious of humanly. This understanding is a protection for those of us who seem to have little, as well as for those who have much. For it is only as we understand that all things of which we are conscious are divine ideas, that we can prove their permanency and their ever-present availability.